The Exit Corridor. We'll now move to the final area of our tour, the Exit Corridor. A 3-foot-high glass barrier runs along the length of the hall between you and the exhibits immediately in front of you. Moving down this 75-foot hallway, 5 stations are on your right. First, Making the Flag. A placard informs, Mary Pickersgill, a professional flag maker in Baltimore, made the Star-Spangled Banner in the summer of 1813. 4 teenaged girls, her daughter, 2 nieces, and an African-American indentured servant helped piece together its broad stripes and bright stars. A photo portrait of a woman is on display, her bespectacled face swaddled in a white bonnet and a white ruffled collar. It's Mary Pickersgill, nearly 40 years after she made the flag. To the left of this portrait is an overlay exhibit. It shows the red, white, and blue of the Star-Spangled Banner in clear plastic over an outline of the Pickersgill home. Text reads, The huge 30-by-42-foot flag overwhelmed the cramped rooms of Pickersgill's house. She moved the operation across the street to the more spacious Claggett's Brewery. Also in a glass case are sewing implements dating to the early 1800s of the type Pickersgill and her assistants would have used to make the flag. A thimble, a chatelaine, a small pair of scissors on a chain attached to a pin cushion, and a selection of straight pins in a circle of fabric. The next station is labeled Family Keepsake. The label reads, For nearly 100 years, the Star-Spangled Banner remained with the family of George Armistead, Fort McHenry's commander during the Battle of Baltimore. Recognizing the flag's historical importance, the family occasionally made it available for public view and gave away snippings as treasured keepsakes. To the left of this label is a case with a silver punch bowl, shaped in a suspiciously round fashion, resting on intricately carved eagles. It is engraved with the name George Armistead and is displayed with a ladle and silver cups. Text tells us that the citizens of Baltimore presented this silver punch bowl, shaped like a British bombshell, to Lieutenant Colonel Armistead in 1816. A few steps further left is a black-and-white photograph, the first photograph of the Star-Spangled Banner taken at the Boston Navy Yard in 1873. The flag hangs outside a building with its field of stars at right. It is already missing one of its original 15 stars and a large section of its fly edge. Tattered stripes and holes are readily apparent. Perhaps most striking is its enormity. A soldier at attention on planks at bottom is dwarfed by the banner, the top of his cap reaching only to the edge of the third stripe. The next area is entitled National Treasure. Text reads, The Star-Spangled Banner came to the Smithsonian Institution in 1907 from George Armistead's grandson, Eben Appleton. Its exhibition at the National Museum, wrote a newspaper reporter, aroused enthusiasm, veneration, and valor, as has no other object in the institution. For over a century, the Smithsonian has continued to display and care for the flag, ensuring its survival for generations to come. A video screen in this section reviews how the Smithsonian has preserved and presented the flag since 1907. For instance, one screen shows the flag on display at the Smithsonian Castle shortly after its arrival. Another shows it being attached to the linen backing in 1914. Another shows the flag folded in a case in the Arts and Industries Building in 1953. Another, the flag being installed in the museum's Flag Hall in 1963. One more depicts conservators in 1999 clipping 1.7 million stitches to remove the linen backing. Another screen displays a microscopic image of the flag's red threads. The caption states, 2002, analyzing the condition of the flag's fibers. The fourth area in the exit corridor is titled National Anthem. Here we learn that Francis Scott Key's song roused a nation's spirits during the War of 1812. He wrote the words to fit the melody of To Anacreon in Heaven, a well-known 18th-century British tune. Key's song gained new popularity during the Civil War, and by the early 1900s, it was a fixture at public ceremonies and celebrations. In 1931, Congress made the Star-Spangled Banner America's national anthem. Over the years, Americans have adapted the song to suit the times, expressing their cultural tastes as well as their patriotism. By now, you may have noticed the medley of performances of the Star-Spangled Banner playing in the background. And on display are photo reproductions of an 1825 portrait of Francis Scott Key and Key's original manuscript for the song, as well as an image collage representing diverse voices and versions of the Star-Spangled Banner. Included within the collage are images of Americans singing the Star-Spangled Banner. A family gathered around a piano in a print dating from 1863. Students from St. Rita School for the Deaf in Cincinnati in 1918. The United States Marine Band around 1928. Jimi Hendrix at the Woodstock Music and Art Fair in 1969. Whitney Houston at Super Bowl XXV, Tampa, Florida in 1991. And a cross-section of Americans in a stadium in 1994. Finally, the last area of this corridor is the legacy of the Star-Spangled Banner. A panel reminds us that the Star-Spangled Banner is a national treasure. It inspired the song that became the national anthem and established the American flag as the country's most significant symbol. In times of celebration and crisis, pride and protest, people have raised the flag to express their ideas about what it means to be American. To the left of this panel is a video screen with a silent display of rotating images. Among the many images, a U.S. astronaut with the flag on the surface of the moon in 1969, the flag raising on Iwo Jima in 1945, the flag being lifted off a casket during a burial at Arlington National Cemetery in 2007, civil rights marchers carrying a flag in Selma, Alabama in 1965, and Ku Klux Klan marchers in white hoods and robes carrying flags in 1925. A woman holding a flag during a 2006 naturalization ceremony. A freed slave in 1865 wearing a U.S. flag pinned to her bodice. Vietnam veterans protesting the war in Southeast Asia carrying an upside-down flag in 1971. Women's suffrage marchers carrying flags in 1912. Disability rights activists at a rally in 1994 with a flag on which the stars are arranged in the shape of a wheelchair. And the flag being raised by three firefighters above the rubble of Ground Zero in New York City in 2001. As you turn to your left to leave our exhibit, a display acknowledges the funders and supporters of this effort. The Smithsonian gratefully acknowledges the donors who made possible the preservation and exhibition of the Star-Spangled Banner, the centerpiece of the Star-Spangled Banner campaign. Polo Ralph Lauren. Generous support is provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts, United States Congress, American Express Historic Preservation Fund, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with special thanks to Save America's Treasures at the National Trust for Historic Preservation. You are leaving our exhibit on the opposite side of the abstract representation of the United States flag suspended high above you. At the information desk where you received your audio player, an attendant will assist you with its return. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Star-Spangled Banner, the flag that inspired the national anthem. And we hope that this audio-described tour was helpful to you. The National Museum of American History and all of the Smithsonian Institution's facilities are committed to helping all people appreciate and understand the scope of the world's cultures and resources. Thank you for visiting us, and we invite you to return again soon.